Good evening, everybody, and welcome to episode 18 of the Weekly Wind Down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacy, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacy, the political princess.
And I'm Debbie.
No neat tagline, Deb?
like Madonna.
I haven't made one up yet.
Okay, so we are going to start out tonight. I am drinking, and I'm gonna 100% butcher this. Reserve de Rompas. I'm gonna say it's good. That's I'm trying to see where it's from. Oh, yeah, it's French.
Bien, très bien.
I don't know what that means. Oui, oui.
Oh, je parle français.
Oui, oui.
Real fancy. You just lost all your followers and friends. By the way, no, they're like, check them out. They're bilingual.
Not even a little. Stace?
All right, I'm drinking a 2014 red wine from California called Black Ink, and I bought it, no joke, because my kids asked me to. We have a cork gun, pop gun, and it shoots wine corks, and apparently the Black Ink wine cork, we had one in our little thing of wine corks, and it works best in the pop gun. So
by little thing of wine corks, she means like the 10-gallon drum she keeps. Giant bucket.
Those things kind of hurt when they hit you too.
They do.
Yeah. FYI. Oh, my stomach's still broken. So I'm having tea. I'm having the Tazo Awake English Breakfast Tea for all of our British fans out there. I'm drinking my tea with milk and sugar in it.
Fancy.
Cheerio.
Deb?
And I'm having our very American Bubba K filled with delicious nectar of the gods, reverse osmosis filtered H2O.
I mean, really, can you get more like American, like America than Bubba K?
America.
So last week we were off because Debbie and I were in Cabo San Lucas. Not just Debbie and I, there was quite a few of us down there. We were in Cabo San Lucas, and we woke up one morning to an amazing Twitter whatever post from President
shitstorm
from President Trump, and he
are
had
you sure?
That I know, it seems sound, weird, right? Yeah. It
doesn't track.
And he had went ahead and sent one of his 3 a.m. tweets or 12, whatever. He should be probably sleeping because he looks like he's been hit by a truck at this point. where it said, the mainstream media, confetti. Confetti.
I'll quote it. I still got it on my phone.
Okay, Debbie, quote it.
I screenshot the thing before he deleted the tweet. And it said, quote, despite the constant negative press, kofifi. And that was it.
Well, I'm glad we didn't paraphrase it. That means so much more.
It does.
Does anybody have any theories on what it was supposed to be?
He was trying to write coverage.
Coverage.
Oh, see, I was looking online
really
and I was
confident.
Like, everybody's playing it up to be, what does it mean? And I'm like, I'm really curious.
Everyone's playing it up because if he was an adult, he would have just said, typo, sorry, here's what I was trying to say. But instead, he
said spicy spicer out there.
Well, Debbie, do you have what he replied back?
I know it's still on his Twitter page, but it was something to the effect of, A select group of people know what kofifi means. You know, you guys figure it out. And ended it with, enjoy.
Yeah.
Wow. Come on. It was a typo.
For
it
sure.
Was a typo.
For sure.
Which, no, I think
it was
think
the nuclear launch codes.
I think he passed out in mid-tweet is my guess.
Or someone snatched it out of his hand and accidentally sent it. They're like, we told you not to tweet at 3 a.m. Give me that.
Give me that.
And it sent, and he was like, ha ha, leaving it up there now. I do have to say, though, we were in Cabo with my cousin Chris, who did vote for Trump. And he was even like, why does he keep tweeting? Like, he looks like such a freaking idiot. I'm like, well, first of all, he is. Like, that's... Yes,
correct.
I feel like we can, like, agree on that. He is. He doesn't really have a mastery of, like, the English language or any language, really, for that matter. And he loves the attention. He just loves the attention. Like, right after that tweet was sent, he sent out his poor Sean Spicer.
Right.
Who, he'll be lucky to be doing Melissa McCarthy impersonations in his, like, yeah, when this is over. But
you better buy a Ghostbuster jumpsuit. He's gonna need it.
And to go out there, and when the reporters asked him, like, what was that about? And he was like, well, a select few people know what that meant. So
yeah, and if you hear the president and a small group of people know exactly what he meant.
And if you listen to the reporters in the room, they all start laughing because they're like, yeah. Sean.
at
what point do you stop? Just tell it's okay to tell the truth here, because it was legitimately an innocent mistake. He was going to say coverage. Oops.
You know how hard it is to type when you have such little hands? No, letters are so big.
I always pictured him tweeting just by, like, licking the phone, and, like, whatever pops up is just, like, what he sends out.
Oh, look, I was right, because apparently on Urban Dictionary, they define covfefe as, it's a noun, when you want to say coverage, but your hands are too small to hit all the letters on your keyboard. There you go.
Well, all we need is from Urban Dictionary. I have to say, though, like, my favorite part about the whole, like, covfefe whatever this debacle was
kerfuffle.
Was the way, like, Twitter united and just railed on this whole Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, like, it all just came alive with the most wonderful, like, tweets and impersonations and, like, explanations for this fucking word. It was a nice little break from, like, the our president has probably committed treason with Russia whole thing. Like, it was fantastic.
But even Randy Rainbow came out with this confetti medley.
Oh, I need to lift that up. I'm gonna post that.
Oh, it's a good
page.
One. It's a good
I'm
one.
I'm gonna put that on our page. Trevor Noah did a movie trailer also where he plays a young African boy named Covfefe. He's trying to find out his purpose in life.
Well, George Wallace tweeted, he is like, I don't see what the problem is. I have two nieces named Covfefe. Like, just people came alive with it, and it was wonderful.
It's gonna be like the top baby name for 2017, Rod.
Covfefe. It's good for a boy or a girl. Okay.
Because it's not a word.
My favorite one is he goes on later, he's slamming Hillary Clinton, calling her, of course, Crooked Hillary Clinton. She's a terrible candidate, blah, blah, blah. And then she responds back personally on her Twitter saying, quote, people in covfefe houses shouldn't throw covfefe.
What's great about the word is because no one knows what it is, you can substitute it for anything. Like, that's...
A noun, a verb, whatever. Yeah.
But the...
One of my favorite tweets was, of course covfefe is a real word. It was coined during the Bowling Green Massacre.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I'm already looking for my hashtag covfefe t-shirts. Like, that's...
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Just... It can sit right next to my Nevertheless She Persisted shirt.
Nevertheless She covfefe'd.
She did covfefe. So much.
But it kind of... It brings up, like, an interesting point. Like, so President Trump doesn't really grasp the concept, it seems, that his words actually hold a great deal of meaning now. Like, what the president says is policy. He's no longer a private citizen that can kind of spew these random, and I'm not even talking about covfefe now, because that was just fucking funny. Like, I'm talking about the way he attacked the London mayor on Twitter after the attacks. First of all, he took what he said completely out of context. Mm-hmm. When the London mayor said that the citizens shouldn't be alarmed, And that's what President Trump quoted. What the mayor actually said was, the citizens shouldn't, there will be lots of police in the streets for the next few days. It's no reason to be alarmed. So he totally cherry picked. Imagine a world after 9/11, if someone from Britain were to have gotten on and attacked Rudy Giuliani.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not comparing, like, the London Bridge thing to 9/11. Like, that's not, it's the idea that our leader would actually get on a public forum and attack him after such a tragedy took place. And not to mention, by the when that first car drove in and hit those pedestrians and were stabbing him, the London police were there within 8 minutes. The guy was dead. Mm-hmm. Like, that is actually,
that's so fast.
That's amazing that they had that kind of response time. Like, of course, no one wants to see an attack like that happen, but it couldn't have gone better for the responders that were on the scene first. Like, 8 minutes,
that's amazing.
You can't get anything in 8 damn minutes.
No, you can't get fast food in 8 minutes.
No. Yeah, so the fact that when the first call happened, or the first car hit, by the time they had them shot dead, it had been 8 minutes. Everybody should be congratulating them and trying to kind of find out what protocol they have to mimic that kind of response, because that doesn't exist here either. So, but he chooses to fixate on that. And that goes to kind of like the policy thing. He can no longer ramble on Twitter as a private citizen, because he is not a private citizen any longer. He is the leader of the free world. What we hope is the free world for a little bit longer. Yeah. They actually created this new Twitter bot, and kind of like the shadow of this, of to kind of give people the idea of how much, like, his tweets actually mean. Every time he tweets something, it puts it up as a press release from the White House.
Because I saw that. That's funny.
Because that's essentially what it is. Like, you are dictating public policy with each tweet. Each one of your bizarro rantings of a gross old racist. Like, that's essentially what he is. So what do you guys think about him, his tweeting after the London Bridge attacks?
I think you're right about, we should be asking, or people in general should be asking what their protocol is, because that's amazing. 8 minutes is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's really appalling. Again, like you were stating, you know, initially he tweeted out support, you know, from America, you know, we stand with you and all that, but then it completely negates it by following it up with, you know, the tweet against the mayor of London. And you can't tell me that that's not probably somewhat racially motivated, because the mayor is a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and then to continue it, you know, once the mayor's like, hey, I got more important things to do to respond to Donald Trump's tweets right now, and rightfully said,
yeah,
he just digs himself in deeper, you know, he's just like, you know, he continues it. Well, and it's, go ahead.
He talks so much about how the world is laughing at us and stuff. How much do you think the world is laughing at us that our greatest ally just said, I don't have time to worry about what the president of the United States thinks. Like, I'm dealing with adult stuff.
Like, yeah,
there's real things right going on here, and I can't worry about Donald Trump pandering to his base. Like, Britain has been, and always, I mean, ever since we won our freedom from them, they are our greatest asset. Like, as soon as we were bombed, they were right there with us. What do you need us to do? Where do you need us to go? Mm-hmm. Let's go take care of this. So to kind of see like that transformation into, well, they suck, is laughable, and it's embarrassing. And even if I had voted for him, I would be like, what is your problem? Like, honestly, why would you say that to a city that just went through a terror attack? It's mean. Like, if anything else, it's mean.
You talk about, I mean, we were talking about what is the meaning of covfefe, and it's like, nobody knows. Well, instantly, they come up with, we know what the meaning of covfefe is now. The meaning of covfefe is a literal translation from Arabic, meaning, I stand up.
Yeah, that's the bullshit they were trying to spin.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not true.
And so the argument is, number one, that Trump knows Arabic, That's highly unlikely.
Trump doesn't know his times tables.
He barely knows English.
If he did know Arabic, that he would be able to spell that word. That's highly unlikely as well.
It's
so I don't buy it. I think they just dug and dug and dug until they could find some logical explanation for his midnight Twitter.
Instead of just...
Of course, some intern found that.
Well, literally everyone in the world has misspelled something in a tweet, a message, a text. Like,
of course.
That is something that is not partisan. Like, that joined us all. We have all misspelled something in Twitter. But what Trump was actually getting that cherry-picked statement from... He was quoting a Drudge Report, which brings me to media. Because the Drudge Report is an incredibly, incredibly right-winged news outlet. And not just right-wings, like the way the Wall Street Journal has, you know, a conservative
outlook.
Yeah, leans on things. Or the way, you know, The Economist leans right. Like those, yes, whatever, like... The Drudge Report just makes shit up. They literally make shit up. And this is where our president is getting his information from. He completely ignores the fact that we have a whole arsenal of intelligence experts, he does, on speed dial, that he could pick up the phone at any time and say, what happened in London? I need the rundown. Tell me everything you know. And he could get way more information than we ever could. But instead, he goes to the Drudge Report and takes his information. Like, why is that not scary? I would be terrified if Hillary Clinton was in office and she was only quoting things that came off of MSNBC.
Like, the National Enquirer.
This shouldn't be the basis for news outlets, but this is where his base gets their information from, too. And I read a really interesting piece about kind of like the skewed media views. And so it kind of broke it down like this. Of course, media is skewed. It leans right. It leans left. Why? Because people run it. Like, no matter how partisan you try to be, your opinion will always somehow find a way into it. But that doesn't mean that there's not truth in the statements. Like, I can, in people who only listen to one or the other, I don't understand why you're so terrified of your thoughts being challenged. Like, Fox News can report on something, and they can have a totally right-wing view of it. It can totally be skewed, but it doesn't mean all the facts are inaccurate. Just like the same on the left, MSNBC could report something. I'm like, you guys are going way over the top, Rachel Maddow. Calm down. But it doesn't mean there's not truth in it either. So if you have zero convictions and you aren't able to actually pinpoint your own beliefs, these kinds of things will get to you. But if you are strong in your convictions, you should be able to read opposing arguments and come to your own conclusion about it. But our president lacks the ability to do that because he only takes in the Drudge Report, Breitbart, and Fox and Friends, which, by the way, Fox and Friends is like the worst program on Fox News. Like, I mean, next to probably Sean Hannity, like...
Yeah, I was going to say, and that's saying something, because there's some quality programming.
But I don't understand why we're so... And I'm guilty of it, too. I don't, you know, if I have a choice, I'll read NPR before I read the Wall Street Journal. You know what I mean? About the same story, because they do lean a little bit left. So I'm going to try and, like, make a commitment to myself that for the next 2 weeks, I'm only going to read right-leaning news outlets. I can't bring myself to watch Fox, but I'm only going to read right-leaning news outlets and see if my convictions still hold up the same way they did prior to that experiment. Because I thought it was, when I was reading this piece, I was like, that's actually a really good challenge. If I feel so strongly about it that I'm willing to fight and argue and yell and tell people, like, they're incorrect... Does that hold up when that's all the information I'm taking in?
Maybe next week. This week, there's a lot going on this week. And I feel like I want to read the stuff I want to read after Comey testifies on Thursday.
Oh, yeah, Comey. Oh, damn it. Maybe next week. Yeah.
That's happening on Thursday. So, well, and the thing that's funny is it just all seems like such a mess right now, especially leading up to... you know, him testifying on Thursday, because, and I wanted to bring this up because I think this is just like, there's a lot of things about Kellyanne Conway that I just like, I just can't. But the fact that she says, okay, so she was on the Today Show this past week, and she made sure to complain about this obsession with covering everything the president says on Twitter. And so Greg Melvin, who was the correspondent filling in for Matt Lauer, said, like, that's his preferred method of communication with the American people. And she said, that's not true. But she's also said that social media for the president is extremely important because it gives him the ability to speak directly to the people without the bias of the media filtering those types of communications. He, at this point, has over 100+ million contacts through social media on all of those platforms, and I think it's a very important tool for him to be able to utilize. Like, of course, why wouldn't he? Because there's no follow-up question.
First of all, more people follow Taylor Swift than follow Donald Trump.
I know, and they're combining all of his social media platforms to get that number in the first place. So, right. Like, trust me, it was, I can't even explain to you the confusion I felt the first time I saw one of Donald Trump's tweets, like, from the POTUS Twitter. Because I'm used to that sounding very different. And even though, like, I knew he wasn't the president anymore, I was still expecting, like, great, like, Obama quotes. And all of a sudden it was this doofus. But it's like, first, Kellyanne Conway, like, I love how she can say one thing and then say the opposite in the same sentence. And you're like, what? Like, how can you pander so blatantly where you're just going to give opposing answers to the same question?
She's a master. If I needed somebody for that job, I'd hire
totally.
Her.
She's so good at her job. Like, I think we can good at it. I think we can all give her some props on just being like the best that ever has existed in that position, because damn, she's like like spinning plates and like
she's like blah, 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 blah. That's not true, I didn't say that, yes I did. Like, wait, what?
To the point that you're like, did she? I don't know, I don't remember.
I don't
what happened.
Right. And then the other thing that gets me about it is an alternative fact. And then the other thing that gets me about it, about the whole situation too, is like, yeah, of course he loves social media, because there's no, like, you should be like, you have a press secretary, you have all of these things that are set up to make sure that things do stay unbiased and things like that. And it's just, it's all so screwed up. So then you have this whole thing and whatever's happening with Spicer, because it sounds like maybe he's not going to be doing.
He's getting fired.
Yeah, like he's maybe not going to be press secretary much longer. So we got, what's her name, Huckabee, filling in all the time. And that's another, like, what? And so that whole thing's happening. And then Comey testifies on Thursday. And then all the Paris Accord stuff.
Oh, that like, just.
Wait. I got one more thing to say about the Comey testimony coming up. So it was announced today that our president will be live tweeting his own responses to the Comey testimony.
This doesn't surprise me.
If he feels the need.
Because I was just watching an interview with Anderson Cooper where he said that literally the president will live tweet him about an interview that is airing. Like, he'll be doing an interview live and the president will be live tweeting him during it. Like, he's watching the interview. So this doesn't surprise me even a little bit.
But at what credibility does Donald Trump have against the ex-director of the FBI who's giving testimony under oath?
But he's
constantly thing, forcing right? us to live in like this game show kind of reality TV world. Like, oh my God, someone take his fucking phone for like 2 hours. Like, we do not need he has nothing else to do than live tweet. This isn't the Oscars.
Like, I know. It's like, congressional.
But think of this, as he's refuting whatever Comey says, his base is eating it up. Now remind, as you stated, he's not under oath. He can say whatever the hell he wants.
He does.
Even though it's coming as supposedly presidential or White House policy when he tweets, he's not under oath. He can say whatever he wants, and then his base is just going to eat it up.
But let's.
I almost feel like I need to take Thursday off.
And watch
They're
it like it's the Super
this,
Bowl.
Like the Washington Super Bowl, yeah.
I do think though that we should be careful about getting all of our hopes up about Comey's testimony, because Comey is pretty good at being like, "That's not a position I can comment on because I'm not so and so." Like, Comey's very good at kind of saying, "This is what I have experienced. I'm not going to speak for anyone else," because he's a cop. Mm-hmm. Like,
and it's all he said, she said. So it's not, right. You know, a lot of it's just going to be
so
hearsay.
I think people are kind of expecting like some bombshells from Comey. And I don't think that's what's going to happen at all. I do expect Comey to be very honest in his responses, mm-hmm. but I don't think he's going to drop this bombshell that the Democrats are kind of salivating over waiting for.
I want the pee tapes. I want to find out about the pee tapes.
They were saying that one of the guys that's testifying tomorrow, who is it? Rogers or something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that he's the one that's supposed to be dropping the bombshell.
Oh, man, I hope someone does.
Anybody drop a bombshell.
I know.
It's just such a shit show. It is.
Listening from any foreign country, just really feel sorry for us because we all can't do anything about this. I mean everybody's doing what they can, and it just keeps going on, and every day it's worse and worse and worse, and it's really horrible. I don't know what else to say. Just feel bad for us. Be glad he's not your president, and we'll gladly exchange with you, any one of you.
Justin Trudeau, well, come on down.
It's frustrating too, because like you said earlier, like, I mean, with his tweet to the mayor of London, like, it's so terrible. But then, like, if you saw any of the stuff that happened, like, during, like, that whole Paris Agreement, like, that made it so clear that, because I think it was Angela Merkel went out later and said, like, it's like the U.S. used to be one of our allies, and it's very clear
that we can't count on them anymore.
And that's such a huge, like...
What I don't understand is it can't even go into effect because no one can withdraw until it's been going for 3 years and it just started. So technically, you couldn't withdraw until the day the new president is elected. Like in 2020, mm-hmm. it's actually the day after would mm-hmm. be the first day they could actually withdraw. So all he's essentially doing now is taking America's seat away at the table. Like, we're not there to negotiate our terms. We're not there to have any influence over this. Only two countries in the entire world aren't in the Paris Accord. One is Nicaragua, and that is actually because they didn't think it was strict enough.
Yeah,
they're actually way beyond it. Yeah, and mm-hmm. Syria. And that's because they're literally being bombed every 5 seconds.
They're in the middle of a civil war.
They're like, look, we're going to worry about the planet in a little while. We're just mm-hmm. trying to stay alive. Yeah, this is, first. Have you looked around? Like, yeah, so...
Yeah,
he's
and
all
then it's
he's,
just us looking like jerks.
Well, it took a year of negotiation between all of the... Nothing like this has ever been done, where the entire world has sat down, agreed that whether or not your beliefs with climate change is real, whether or not you believe that humans are contributing to it or that it's just happening, like, everyone agrees that it actually exists. Like... If you don't know why it's raining in the middle of June, like it's still like raining out here in springtime. Like we haven't had a sunny day in I don't know how long. The seasons have all shifted 6 weeks. Like I don't know what to tell people. But all he's done is for such being such a great deal maker and, you know, business person, like Donald Trump, you are not going to get every country in the world to sit down and strike a new deal, especially because the Paris Accord is voluntary. It's you
That's
set
I mean,
your own
no
standards.
Oversight.
Yeah, you set your own standards. You promise the rest of the world you're going to meet them, and you do it. You're not going to get a different deal. No one's paying us. We're not paying anyone.
It's a show of good faith.
It was an agreement.
And if we can link it on our page, John Oliver, like on This Week Tonight.
Don't tell me I haven't watched
Sunday,
it yet.
Has an amazing piece on this whole situation, and it's.
Well, what he essentially did was everybody got together for the first time and was like, we're going to be decent human beings when it comes to this one subject. We're going to try and stop absolutely trashing the planet. We're going to try and go solar. We're going to go wind power. And everyone was like, hey, we can all get behind that. And Trump crossed mm-hmm. his arms and went, no.
Putin agreed. Space. He, you know, this way the coal miners can all be gone. Yeah, screw solar.
But so here's the thing. Here's the thing about his base, though. There's 200 million registered voters in America. Of that, 60 million voted for Donald Trump. Okay, of that 60 million, probably 20 million were just never Hillary voters. So you're left with about 40 million people that genuinely voted for Trump. Of those 40 million, I would venture to say 15 million of them are already like, this guy has lost his mind. So you,
oh, I bet.
Yeah. So you have actually a pretty small percentage of voters that are his absolute base. You're never going to convince them of anything different. Like they are 100% Trump. That's it. They're not going to listen to anything else. Fuck them. Stop trying to talk to them. Stop trying to convince them. Like, whatever. Believe whatever the hell you want, because you don't need those voters to win the next election. You need those never Hillary voters, and you need the swayable Trump voters that were like, I've just been a Republican my whole life, and I couldn't bring myself to vote for a Democrat. They will change their minds in the next election if Donald Trump screws them over. Like, don't worry about that small base that he keeps trying to fire up with his rhetoric, because they don't actually matter. Like, they don't.
And that's the thing. And he goes out there and he says, like, I'm the, you know, was elected by the people of Pittsburgh, not the people of
And Pittsburgh's
Paris.
Like, the fuck you were. Like,
right. The mayor of Pittsburgh was like, actually, Hillary Clinton
won that. Yeah.
Vote in Pittsburgh, so.
Yeah.
So not that.
And we support it. So, yeah, that was funny.
Right. I know. I was just like, and what does it have to do with Paris even at all?
He didn't even read it. That's what I'm saying.
He just saw it and was like, I'm not protecting the climate of Paris.
We're not helping Paris. We're worried about Pittsburgh.
That's probably what he thought.
And literally everybody in the world went, what's he talking about?
Yeah, it's like he had to write a book report and didn't read the book. It was just going based off of the title and the cover. Like, the picture of an Eiffel Tower.
Of Mice and Men, is that the one where he eats the mouse at the end? I don't like it. It's terrible.
It's
sad, sad, sad.
He has a little rat fin. Is that it?
What a
it's
shit
so
show.
Bad.
I cannot. But Thursday, P-tapes, huh?
You're not getting the P-tapes.
I'm so 100% on board with these P-tapes. Not on board with the P-tapes, but like I want them to, I just, come on.
You know what? It wouldn't make a damn bit of difference.
Right, I know.
P-tapes aren't treason, so we don't
ask
know
R. Kelly.
I'm going to tell you, I don't give a shit if sex workers from all over the planet pissed all over Donald Trump. I don't care. Just like I did not care when some girl sucked Bill Clinton's dick in the Oval. I don't care what their sexual fetishes are. I care that he's been colluding with Russia.
It's not about that. It's about that it took place in Russia.
Don't care.
That's the whole tie-in to
Don't care.
That's the whole tie-in.
I mean, the P-tapes would be funny, but I don't actually care.
That's the biggest thing. Do I think that makes him a bad president? No. Do I think everything else about him does? Yeah, obviously. But it's like, it just makes it worse that you're like, clearly this election was bought and paid for by Russia, and then you celebrated by getting peed on by prostitutes. Like, it's just, you know,
it is compromise, or whatever you are.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
I don't think it would actually have any significant difference. It wouldn't make any difference unless they could prove that his decision-making was done under duress of release of that tape, which they'd never be able to prove.
Yeah.
I'm going on the record right now. I do not want Donald Trump impeached. I do
Same.
Not
and
want him
biggest,
impeached.
Like,
and what worries me, Mike Pence scares me way more than Donald Trump ever will. Donald Trump's not bright enough to do any real damage. He's making us look like idiots, but he's not very smart. Mike Pence is a whole different, and what I worry about most is the Republicans are going to ride this out because they control the House and the Senate. They're going to ride this out. They're going to impeach him in year two or three. Where Mike Pence will then only have a year in office and get easily reelected because he's just going to do the opposite of what Trump has done and keep his fucking mouth shut.
I know.
And then they'll all rally behind him.
Here's the difference. I think they're both scary in different ways because I agree with you. I think Pence is scarier, like on our soil, like for Americans, for our own rights and those sort of things. I think Pence is way bigger threat. I think Donald Trump is a bigger threat internationally because he's making such a fool of everyone else. And I feel like at some point, like someone's going to be tired of, they don't want to hear his shit anymore and they're going to do something about it. And that's the thing that worries me.
I used to think that
he's ruining all these, you know,
I was like, he's going to start World War III. We're going to get bombed. Like, I don't think that anymore. And I think that honestly, people, other world leaders are just like, this guy's he's lost it. Like, I really think they all kind of have that attitude that the mayor of London has, who's like, we have adult shit to do. Yeah, like, we're not worried.
I hope that's true.
Like, with the exception of maybe North Korea, because they're always vying for a fight of some kind, I really believe that the rest of the world is kind of like, we're going to wait this out.
I hope that they just pity us.
I do too.
I hope they know, like, this isn't what we asked for.
This is not what we believe in. It's
no.
not our goals. He doesn't speak for the majority of the population of America.
Clearly yeah. not, because the majority didn't vote for him.
Yeah. Yeah. And those that didn't, I curse them.
I know.
I mean, the people that didn't vote in the election, I curse them.
Well, the other thing, too, is and we've talked about this before, the silver lining to Trump being in office is the fact that he's annihilated all the rules. So now you're going to see an emergence of really strong leaders kind of come out of it, I think, who are so appalled by this. And the whole kind of like, well, if he can fucking get elected, I can get elected. Like, I think in the past, people have been so scared about, like, one or two things that they may have done that they're like, oh, I don't want that to come out. I'll never get elected. This guy, he grabs pussy and no one seems to care. So, like...
So I guess it's true when they tell you you can be whatever you want, even president.
We should draw the line somewhere.
can we have
some
sort of standard?
We can't have any lower bar, I'll tell you that. There's no lower bar.
Is not.
Okay, so we are going to move on to the hashtag Kefefe. We are going to move on to the next segment, which our very quiet friend Stacy is going to take away, since we all just yelled at each other for 20 minutes, agreeing with each other. I agree with you more.
We really do need a Republican guest star on this show to like disagree with us. We agree too much. No.
Alright. I would welcome a Republican on this show that was open to a dialogue and not just like that would be open to actually debating real issues and not just, but Hillary did this and Hillary did that and Obama did it. Like, if you want to talk.
The emails.
Like, I would talk to any open-minded Republican and have, like, a legitimate debate on policy.
Who is, like, an actual Republican because of their political beliefs and not their religious beliefs.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
That won't yell fake news at us for everything we say.
Right.
Yeah. All right, so I was watching Ellen, big surprise, the other day.
Oh, I love Ellen.
We all love Ellen.
This date with the celebrity called the 5-second rule. You guys see that episode?
Yeah. Well, she's done it for a while.
Yeah, buddy. All right. I just started watching Ellen. I had caught some episodes here and there, but I just started recording it and watching it all the time.
You like, my just started watching Ellen?
I mean, no.
Stacey, it's 2017.
No, I've seen Ellen. I just started recording it and watching it religiously because my family found to watch it together, and I love that. So I made up our own 5-second rule game. So there's 4 rounds. You each have to answer. They get harder as they go on. Yeah, I wish you guys could see their faces. Okay, so they start off super easy. So it's going to go Jack, Stacey, Debbie. Okay,
I kind of missed what the game is. What is the game?
It's called the 5-second rule. Ellen does it on her show. So I'm going to ask you a question, and you have to answer. It's name 3. Everything is name 3. You have to name 3 of whatever the topic is, and I have a timer for 5 seconds. You gotta name 3 seconds, and they get harder. Okay. Ready? You ready? Jack's your first.
Okay.
Nervous.
Me too.
Ready? They're not that. All right. Jack, name 3 email servers.
I'm sorry. I couldn't. You broke up for a second. What?
Name 3 email servers.
Can I have that one?
Google, Yahoo, Hotmail.
Nice. All right, Stacey.
Oh, no, I'm nervous. Okay.
Name 3 pasta dishes.
Oh, fettuccine Alfredo, ravioli, and tortellini.
Nice.
I like how you did fettuccine Alfredo. Like.
Well, then I was like, those are just kinds of pasta.
Really fettuccine would like have sufficed. Yeah.
Okay. No, I accept it. That's my favorite. Okay. All right, Debbie. Name three dog breeds.
Boxer, German Shepherd, Beagle.
Nice. All right, Jack. Name three organs in your body.
Liver, heart, lungs.
Jeez.
Boom.
This round's too easy. Stacy. Mm-hmm. Name three Starbucks drinks on the menu.
Oh, caramel frappuccino, my super awesome tea that I get, and caramel macchiato.
You are way too enthusiastic about that.
You want more? I got more.
I'm glad I didn't get that.
Nitro
one.
Cold brew.
Hey, these are made specifically for you guys. All right, Debbie, name three airlines.
United, Alaska, and Canada Air.
They're too easy. All right, this one's harder. Jack. Name three fruits that are round.
Orange, apple, cantaloupe.
An apple really round. Stacy, name three power tools.
Oh, chainsaw, electric screwdriver, and
screwdriver.
That's not a power tool. What is this?
No, what's it called? The electric
A drill.
It's a drill. It's just a drill.
I wish everyone could have seen the look on her face. She was like,
and they I can't just see the look at your
yeah,
face.
I just mimicked it. No one can see anything there.
Kawasaki, Honda, and Harley-Davidson.
Nice. All right, Jack.
How come you gave me the thing you knew I didn't know?
I got Jack, too. Jack, right. Name three designer purse brands.
Gucci, Dolce & Gabbana, Louis Vuitton.
Nice.
What? Power tools, what?
I'm so nervous, my palms are like sweating.
Hold on, wait. I know that there are electric screwdriver things that you can put on the drill and then you can screw screws in. So I feel
it's
like
it's called
I
a bit.
That.
It's called a bit.
Yes, thank you.
No,
put the bit on it.
That's
I
not,
have seen.
That's
high
an accessory.
Do it when we're working
it's
on
an
shows.
Accessory to a power tool. You're losing. You're losing.
All right, I'll give you an easier one. Stacey, name three Tom Hanks movies.
Oh, Philadelphia, Forrest Gump, and Castaway.
Nice. Debbie, name three state capitals.
Sacramento, Seattle,
and...
That's way more than 5 seconds. I'm totally winning.
I don't know. She went over her 5 seconds. Is she going to tell you more? All right, this one's harder. You're on to round three. Jack, name three dance trends from the last 3 years.
Just make it easy to say three dance trends, period.
I got nothing.
Three, two,
yeah,
one.
No.
Nothing.
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 You each have a tally mark. You're tied.
I even demonstrated one for you.
I don't even know what that is.
I dabbed.
Oh.
What about that one?
No, nothing.
No?
All right, easy.
Yeah.
Name three Will Smith characters.
Ooh.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. The guy, the... Oh, no. Oh,
you lose.
You lost. All right, Debbie.
Characters, that's hard.
So are dances.
They're harder.
I could have done three Will Smith characters.
I could have too. All right, Debbie. Name three characters from Bambi.
Bambi?
I'll take it. I accept that.
Thumper and... Chipmunk.
She's out too. Flower.
Flower. Flower's the cutest.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, he was a skunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's his name.
They call me Flower.
Flower.
All right. Now they're harder. Yeah.
It's harder than that?
Yeah. Name three of my animals.
Harley, Mama, Stormy.
Hi. Like that. Stacey.
Mm-hmm. No.
Three.
I don't like this game anymore.
Three of Jax's book titles.
Why'd you put me on the spot like that? Infiltration. That's one, right?
Yep.
Time's up.
I know.
Time's up.
So I'll give you an extra couple seconds. Go.
What are you getting so mad at? My questions have been way harder than yours. way harder.
She lost. On a Debbie.
Yep. All right. Debbie.
I'm just going to say Land's End and Pursuit.
I knew Land's End. That's the one. All
right, Debbie. Name three famous.
I'm lesbians. Bad friend.
Wait, I didn't hear you.
Sorry, I was talking.
Name three famous lesbians.
Jackie D. Ellen DeGeneres. And Portia de Rossi.
Nice.
What?
All right, last round. Jack. Name three slang words for the penis.
Schlong, pecker, pee-pee.
It's a total.
What dick.
Did you say?
Pee-pee.
Did you say pee-pee? That should be the name of your next book. I'll remember that one for sure.
Because we're 5 years old.
Pee-pee.
All right, Stacey.
My brain's broken.
This one's easy. Name three slang terms for making love.
Oh, making whoopee. Doing it. Banging.
Nice.
That was my, like, 60s dating or newlywed game slang. Did you like it? Because where is your favorite spot you've made whoopee? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Jack, do you not know what I'm talking about? The newlywed
No,
game.
We got it.
Well.
All right, Debbie, bring it home.
Shit.
Three slang words for boobs.
Tits, cha-chas. Boobies? I don't know.
There you go. Who won?
Let me tally. Will you go on to what we're obsessed with? Or
I want another round.
Nope.
My questions were real hard. When would I have ever used a power tool?
Any time in your life.
I'm just glad I didn't get the movie ones because I don't know any of those.
I just barely got regular tools that I'm the power of.
Yeah, she didn't know him because she's old school.
Yeah, I'm not going to cheat and use power tools. You know what I'm going to use? Old-fashioned elbow grease. Do you use elbow grease when you're tooling?
Tooling.
Or just cleaning?
Tooling, yeah. I got to go do some tooling.
Right. Jax and Debbie are tied. They each got one wrong. Stacey got three.
Oh.
Good thing I'm not competitive.
Good thing none of us are competitive.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all.
Okay, things I'm obsessed with this week. I am obsessed with, well, last week I was obsessed with Cabo and enjoying the lovely West Coast weather with my friends and family for my mom's birthday. But then I came back and had to readjust to like East Coast time and it's been brutal. Like I'm real tired. So, but I was obsessed with just getting to spend time with everybody and it was a lot of fun and it was really, really pretty. And I wish both the Stacys could have come with us and that's my, and I'll be in California in 3 weeks where we can record the podcast live. So
that. I think we should do a live podcast.
For sure.
We totally should.
Yeah.
From
Napa.
Good idea. Napa. NAPA.
NAPA, bitches. All right, Stace, all right. What do you?
I have two. Number one, I'm obviously obsessed with the Ellen show this week. Like, I love that my family can watch it together. I've cried. I've laughed. Like, if you're not watching Ellen, you're not recording it, you need to. Apparently, I'm the last person on Earth to record it and watch it. But
fact.
I love it. And then my second one is, I don't know if you guys were following that family that had the YouTube channel, Daddy-O of Five. Something like that. Daddy-O 5. He was doing...
Is that the one that was mean to his kids?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so this guy and his wife were doing pranks on their kids and recording them on YouTube. And sometimes they had, like, kind of funny ones. But a lot of them were just mean. And they always picked on the youngest kid, you know. And one of them was... the one that got the most media attention was they dumped and... visible or disappearing ink on the like kid's floor, and then they called him up and cussed him out for it, saying, "How'd you make this stain?" And the kid is bawling, crying, saying, "I didn't do it," you know. And the mom is saying, "You know, F you, what the hell did you put on the floor?" and just cussing him out. And the kid is beside himself. And then the dad jumps in and says, "It was a prank." Well, it just came out today that two of the kids were taken from the family. By CBS, and I'm like, thank God. I've been following it for a while, and I'm like, you know, the youngest kid that got picked on the most went back to his birth mom, so that's super exciting.
People are so fucked up.
That's true.
Yeah, it was awful. And Philip DeFranco did some really cool videos about it, and that's kind of where I was getting a lot of the information. If you guys don't watch Philip DeFranco, he's awesome. And yeah, it was horrific.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah, it's a downer.
Stacey?
Oh, no, it's good. It ended good.
I know. Well, yeah. Kind of. So I am obsessed with The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Right.
Which I've, like, always been obsessed with. It's a TV show. I don't know if you guys watch it.
Love it.
It's on Netflix. It's, like, the best. And in particular, so Titus has, like, a song every season. There's, like, you know, whatever. And... Boobs in California is might be my new favorite song. So if you haven't watched all of this season of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt yet, you should watch it. And Titus's song Boobs in California, which is like the most hilarious thing I've seen in ever. It's like a Pinot Noir holds a special place in my heart, but Boobs in California is also super amazingly awesome. So if you don't watch that show, it's really funny. It's written by Tina Fey.
I love that show. It's so damn funny.
Titus Andromedon is just like he's a spirit animal.
What's it called?
I feel like it's called The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix, and the main character basically was kidnapped and then held hostage in like a cult in a like bunker for
her whole
life. Long time. Yeah. And she went in there basically like in middle school and comes out in like her 20s.
It's so funny.
Real depressing when you just. Like the premise of like the show,
but it's hilarious.
Like, oh, that's like very J.C. Dugard, but no, it's a comedy and it's super
so funny. So she basically has like the mentality kind of a middle schooler.
Yeah, and seeing her like discover cell phones and stuff is real funny. Like, yeah, it's good stuff.
It's hilarious. So I'm obsessed with it. I watched the whole season in like a day and a half.
Nice, Debbie.
Cool. As one should.
So it's my turn?
Yeah.
So I'll reiterate what you said about Cabo. It's really nice seeing friends and spending a week there. It's hard to leave everybody, especially now that we're all different states and don't get to see or talk to each other that much. My other thing is just kind of personal, and that's I'm learning how to play Pirates of the Caribbean, the Jared Radnich arrangement of it, which is super hard on the piano. And then my next big obsession is Comey Day this week.
Yeah. Comey Day.
Okay, how long have you been playing piano? Is this like an adult like goal?
No, my grandma was a piano teacher, so I started playing piano probably before I could read words.
That's so cool. Wow. I didn't know that about you.
Yeah. So it's really, 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 really hard.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Especially because that music sounds super complicated.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell when you listen to it that the orchestrations are, like, bonkers.
It's really bonkers. Hard. Plus, I have little hands, so it's hard for me to stretch them.
How do you tweet? I know. How does one tweet? Maybe you could be the tweet advisor to the president.
Maybe I could be a tweeter. A better tweeter.
A professional tweeter.
You should talk to Jax. She has piano fingers.
Yeah, I know.
She always sends me that.
I don't. And people can't see this, but okay, you know what hitchhiker thumb is?
Yeah.
I don't have that. My thumbs go straight up and down. And people can't really see it, but like my thumbs look like fingers.
Yeah, it's weird. Mm. Yeah, it's real weird.
I'm the only one with no hitchhiker thumb.
Okay, so my one was excellent.
Mine too. I agree. The black ink is really good. I like it.
So, lesson for the day, always listen to your children when purchasing wine. They make good selections.
Wait. I have an announcement. Sessions has offered to resign amid tensions with Trump over his decision to recuse himself from Russia probe. From the Wall Street
Journal. Jefferson Beauregard Sessions, I do declare.
He just resigned?
That's what it says.
Holy moly.
Offered to resign. I don't know if that means he did or not.
Well, he should, because he's a racist. So.
But so that's really good that he's in charge of, you know, all of prison.
Right.
Because that's not disproportionate. We won't even get into that. We we managed to keep this one under an hour. So we can't get into the debauchery.
And then we
that
drop
is
a bombshell at the end. Cliffhanger for next week.
Okay. So thanks everybody for listening. If you want to email us, our email address is theweeklywinddown@gmail.com. And you
should send us questions. We should do like a listener question and answer.
Yeah, if we get questions, we'll answer them. So, or you can like us on Facebook at The Weekly Winddown. And that's all for this week. So I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacey, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacey, the political princess.
And I'm Debbie, and I still haven't thought of what I am yet.
Oh, boo, Debbie. Have a good weekend, everybody.